The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 111. Under the Influence. Loud hip-hop music was blaring from the speakers in the bar. People were dropping it on the dance floor, so no one noticed what was happening in the corner where Annabelle was. The perverted man was named Elian. He was known for his notorious activities around here. He often came to the bar to prey on vulnerable beauties who were most times wasted or tipsy. Elian couldn't take no for an answer. He would get any woman he wanted, by hook or by crook. Tonight, the woman who caught his fancy was Annabelle. He wanted to have her in his bed. To his greatest surprise, she was a fighter. The throbbing pain he felt in his head made him even angrier. He called out to his minions, "Guys, come here." A group of sturdy and fierce-looking men matched over and surrounded Annabelle. "Capture her," Elian yelled and held the wound on his head. "Bitch, you dared to hit me. I'll teach you a lesson tonight." Annabelle scoffed without a hint of fear in her eyes. The hooligans were only four. She was confident she could take them on alone. One of the men, who wanted to please Elian so badly, made a move to strike Annabelle. Before he could do so, she gave him a hard kick in the crotch. Ouch! The man held his groin and collapsed to the floor. The pain paralyzed him instantly. "Loser! You can't even deal with a woman." Elian lost his cool. He waved at the others. "Let's strike at the same time." All the men got ready to pounce on her like fierce lions. At this critical moment, a cold and fierce male voice suddenly came. "Don't you dare." Like magic, all the men who were advancing toward Annabelle halted in their tracks. It took a while for Elian to get over the shock. When he finally regained his senses, he shouted angrily, "Who the fuck dares to meddle in my business? Show your face." The next second, a tall figure walked out from a dark corner. Even before he stepped into the light, Annabelle knew who this meddler was. The disco light blinked on Rupert's black suit. His handsome face was frozen, and his deep-set eyes shot lasers that could burn through anyone. "How dare you lay your filthy hands on my woman? Listen, I'm Rupert Benton." "Rupert Benton?" Once Elian saw Rupert's face clearly, he knew he had fucked up. "Mr. Benton, I had no idea that she's your woman. I'm sorry for offending her. Please forgive me." Elian sank to his knees. His minions did the same. "Fuck off," Rupert roared. Elian and his men ran for their dear lives immediately. After putting down the bottle in her hand, Annabelle turned to look at Rupert with a frown. "Why are you here?" Rupert grabbed her arm and pushed her to the sofa. He leaned over and stared at her coldly. "Is this what you came to do?" Instead of going home with him, she had come to a bar and gotten into a fight with lowlifes. What would have happened to her if he hadn't arrived on time? Weren't they going to take advantage of her? How dare she speak to him rudely after he just saved her life? Couldn't she be a little less stubborn? She was pissing him off. Oblivious to all that was going on in Rupert's head, Annabelle pursed her lips and asked, "Did you follow me here? I thought I told you not to. Why the hell are you being so possessive?" The words Rupert wanted to say were, "I was worried about you." However, he spat out with a frown, "I was talking business with someone and I happened to pass by. Don't flatter yourself." "Oh, so you are saying it's just a coincidence?" Annabelle didn't buy it. She nudged him and said, "Get off me. I need to go home." An inexplicable feeling swept through her whole body. No. This wasn't a good feeling. Rupert stood up and pulled the panicking Annabelle outside. After shoving her into the car, he got behind the wheel and drove straight to Water Moon Community. Meanwhile, Anika and Marcel were shocked after they left the dance floor. The table was a mess and Annabelle wasn't there. "Where did Annabelle go? I'll call her." Marcel took out his phone as he scanned the bar for Annabelle. Before he called dial her phone number, Anika stopped him and pointed to the door just as Rupert was taking Annabelle out. "There she is. It seems I will be getting her necklace, after all." "What necklace?" Marcel asked curiously. Anika smiled. It's a secret. Sitting in the passenger seat, Annabelle began to feel so uneasy. Her body was burning up. She was sweating even though the AC was on. What was happening to her? It was as if she had taken an aphrodisiac or a stimulant. But who could have drugged her? Elian. It had to be that pervert. Annabelle put two and two together. She had gone to the ladies' room, and as soon as she got back, Elian appeared. He must have drugged her drink while she was away. Feeling a pang of regret, Annabelle rolled down the window and rubbed her temples, trying to calm herself down as soon as possible. How could she be so careless? The cold wind blew, but it didn't make any difference. Her body was on fire. She was thirsty, but she didn't want water. She craved a man's touch. Her pelvis was already aching badly. Rupert. Annabelle lost all will to stay calm. She grabbed his arm and leaned on him. What are you doing? I'm driving. Rupert nudged her. Turn the car around, I need to go to the hospital. Annabelle held onto him tighter, her chest heaving violently. What's wrong with you? Talk to me. Rupert soon noticed that she didn't look fine at all. Her palms were hot and she was sweating profusely. Even her face was very red. Her eyes were misty, like she was on the verge of shedding tears. Were you drugged? Rupert asked, squinting with great concern. Yes. Annabelle nodded, on the verge of losing her senses. I suspect it was that pervert just now. Rupert pulled over, carried Annabelle to the back seat, and laid her down. Have a rest. I'll call the doctor. Ouch. My body is on fire. I feel so hot. Annabelle tugged at the bust area of her dress, causing half of her bosom to be revealed. Rupert held his breath at the sight of this. After snapping out of it, he reached out to stop her and said, "Don't move. Please help me, Rupert. I can't take it anymore." Annabelle was going crazy. She wanted this burning sensation to stop. The man in front of her was like spring water in hot summer. She clung to him for solace. As her soft body pressed against Rupert, he was aroused. His groin ached with longing. Her supple bosom was going something to him. Due to the sweat, the silk dress she had on clung to her thighs. She rubbed her legs, exposing how sexy her body was. She was biting her lower lip at this moment. Rupert swallowed hard. He was a man, a strong one at that. This woman was arousing his sexual desire. How long could he put up with this? He would be lying if he said he didn't want her. Chapter 112. You are the best antidote, Annabelle, don't move. Rupert said in a warning tone after taking a few breaths to calm himself down. He used one hand to grasp Annabelle's hand, which was roaming around his body, and removed his phone with his other hand to call Tristan. Tristan, get here immediately. Come on. It's very late now. I'm asleep. Tristan had been fast asleep. The ringing phone had woken him up and he answered it groggily. Cut the crap. Get here quickly. Rupert demanded in an impatient voice. Okay, where are you right now? Send me the address, Tristan said obediently as he began putting his clothes on. After disconnecting the call, Rupert sent his location to Tristan. Annabelle, hang on. The doctor will be here soon. Rupert took off his jacket and wrapped it around her. Annabelle mumbled again, it's so hot. She reached out to remove Rupert's jacket, but he gripped her hands so tightly that she couldn't move. Rupert, let me go, I feel horrible, it's so hot. Annabelle licked her dry lips, squirmed around, and kept murmuring. As Rupert watched her captivating face, he couldn't stop himself from lowering his head and kissing her rosy lips. Annabelle was an enthusiastic participant in his kiss for the first time because his lips felt cool and comfortable for her. Rupert's desire was like burning flames. He embraced her tightly and deepened the kiss. The temperature in the car steadily climbed up. Kissing sounds echoed in the car. While the two of them were locked in a passionate kiss, Tristan arrived, out of breath. Well, did I interrupt you? Tristan was stunned when he caught sight of the couple kissing passionately in the back seat of the car. Did Rupert wake him up in the middle of the night and coerce him to come here just to watch this? Hearing Tristan's voice, Rupert finally ended the kiss. Rupert sat up straight and tidied up his rumpled clothes. His breathing was still a little erratic. Check on her. What's wrong with her? Tristan suspiciously eyed the woman lying in Rupert's arms. She looked familiar. A few moments later, he recalled that she was Rupert's fiancée, Annabelle. Rupert had summoned him twice now because of this woman. It seemed that she held a special place in his heart. When Tristan looked closer, he noticed that Annabelle's face was flushed and her body was pressed against Rupert's. As a highly skilled doctor, one glance was enough to tell Tristan that someone had drugged her. "Did you do it?" Tristan asked half-jokingly. Rupert shot him an icy glare. "Of course not. She was drugged. Help cure it?" Tristan eyed Rupert, who was still a little breathless, and burst into laughter. "You didn't need to call me here in the middle of the night." Rupert was taken aback. "What do you mean?" Tristan gave him a vague smile and said, "Aren't you the best antidote? Be serious." Rupert said grimly and shot Tristan a frosty look before he could even finish speaking. Tristan immediately shut his mouth and removed a syringe and needle from his medicine box. "Fortunately, I carry all kinds of medicines in this treasure chest." After he prepared the antidote and loaded it into the syringe, he stabbed the needle into Annabelle's arm. The tip of the needle pierced Annabelle's delicate skin. Her eyebrows furrowed and she groaned, "It hurts." A trace of distress flashed in Rupert's eyes. He shot Tristan a forbidding glare and said, "Be gentle. An injection will hurt a little bit." Tristan curled his lips disapprovingly. "You look pretty miserable. Are you serious about your nominal fiancé?" "Of course," Rupert replied without hesitation. Tristan asked, "What about Candy?" "Candy?" Rupert frowned and shot back, "It's none of your business." "Okay." Tristan continued to inject the medicine into Annabelle's arm. "It hurts." Annabelle bit her lower lip and looked aggrieved. Rupert held her hand and his eyes softened. "Hang in there, Annabelle. You will be fine soon." After giving the injection, Tristan packed his medical kit and said, "Okay, she will be fine in some time." His antidote was highly effective. Annabelle began to feel much better, and the abnormal flush on her face receded gradually. She leaned weakly against Rupert. "Your work here is done. You can leave now," Rupert said, glancing indifferently at Tristan. Tristan shrugged his shoulders. This content provided by NOFeltrama.org. Rupert thought he was in the way now. He pressed his lips into a thin line and muttered to himself, "You burn the bridge after crossing it. The hospital you took a fancy to the last time will be purchased and the papers will be sent to you tomorrow," Rupert said calmly. With a wide smile, Tristan said, "Thank you." Tristan left satisfied. Seeing that Annabelle had fallen asleep in his arms, Rupert leaned forward, kissed her forehead, laid her flat on the back seat, and gently covered her with his jacket. After driving back to Water Moon Community, Rupert carefully carried the sleeping Annabelle out of the car and walked home. In a daze, Annabelle felt comfortable and cozy in his snug embrace. She nuzzled into his chest and wrapped her arms around his neck, murmuring, "Teddy." Her movement reignited Rupert's extinguished desire. "Shit." Rupert cursed under his breath, inhaled deeply, and walked in the direction of the elevator with Annabelle in his arms. After placing her on his bed, he awkwardly made his way to the bathroom. His mind was filled with images of the passionate kiss he had just shared with Annabelle in the car. Her tempting red lips were so delicious, and her body was so soft and graceful. He was perturbed. The cold water lashed his body. Half an hour later, he finally had his lust under control. The next morning, Annabelle woke up to find Rupert leaning against the edge of the bed, staring at her with his unfathomable eyes. "Rupert, what are you doing in my bed?" Annabelle blurted out as she suddenly came to her senses and stared at him vigilantly. Raising his eyebrows, Rupert chuckled and said, "Look around, this is my bed." Annabelle took stock of her surroundings. "Why am I in your bed? What is your intention?" Rupert watched her with a smile and said, "Don't you remember what happened last night?" Chapter 113 A cold last night? What on earth happened last night? Annabelle looked at Rupert with vigilance. Rubbing her temples, she gradually recalled the events of the previous night. Last night, she met up with Anika for drinks at the bar. Later, Elian drugged her. Fortunately, Rupert showed up out of the blue and whisked her away. At the time, she was burning hot and soon passed out. Albeit vaguely, she recalled being intimate with Rupert. As soon as she recalled this, Annabelle stiffened and checked herself nervously, but she didn't find anything unusual. Still, Annabelle asked with some uneasiness, "Last night, did you do anything to me?" Seeing the adorably nervous look on her face, Rupert raised his eyebrows and asked, "Were you hoping that I did something?" "Of course not," Annabelle snapped, glaring at Rupert unhappily. "But all the same," she breathed a sigh of relief. "It was lucky that Rupert had saved her last night." She shuddered at the thought of what would have happened otherwise. All of a sudden, Rupert started to cough violently. "What's the matter with you? Are you sick?" Annabelle asked in confusion. Rupert cleared his throat and steadied his breath. "I caught a cold."
"Huh?
How?" Annabelle asked with concern. As far as she knew, Rupert was very healthy. And he was fine yesterday. How did he suddenly catch a cold? Rupert gave Annabelle a meaningful look and answered, "Thanks to you. If this silly woman didn't hold him so tightly last night, he wouldn't have needed to take a cold shower. Consequently, he caught a cold." "What on earth are you talking about?" Annabelle asked, utterly confused. She was a smart girl, but no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't figure out how she had anything to do with Rupert's cold. Over breakfast, Annabelle was focused on her phone, browsing through the latest news. Suddenly, a headline caught her attention. Last night, law enforcement arrested a group of thugs who endangered the safety of the public. There were also some pictures attached. It showed the group of people Elian led and pestered Annabelle last night. Annabelle put down her phone and looked at the man sitting opposite her, who was eating breakfast elegantly. "You had Elian arrested? So what if I did?" Rupert stopped eating and smiled at her meaningfully. "Good. A scumbag like him should have been put behind bars a long time ago." Annabelle nodded approvingly. Rupert shrugged and said nonchalantly, "Anyone who dares to hurt my woman will suffer the consequences." "His woman?" Annabelle was speechless. She didn't belong to anyone. After breakfast, the two went straight to Benton Group. Along the way, Rupert coughed from time to time, which made Annabelle feel sorry. Although she still didn't understand why Rupert's cold was related to her, she still went to the pharmacy during her break to buy him some cold medicine. After all, Rupert had saved her last night. Finley knocked on the door to Rupert's office lightly. "Come in," Rupert called in a cold voice. Finley pushed the door open, walked up to Rupert's desk, and reported his latest findings respectfully. "Mr. Benton, we've found the person who remitted money to Kabir."
"Who was it?"
Rupert put down the documents in his hands and looked up with intrigue. Finley handed the printed report to Rupert. "The money came from an abandoned bank account. We followed up on the account and found that it was from an Australian company called Dacian, which has since closed down." "Who was the legal representative?" Rupert asked, furrowing his brows tightly. Finley coughed lightly. "An Australian farmer. He doesn't know anything." "Keep investigating," Rupert said coldly, his expression darkening. It seemed that things were getting more and more complicated. Who made Kabir do that? Was his death really just an accident? Just then, Annabelle knocked on the door, cold medicine in her hand. "Yes." When Rupert saw the beautiful figure at the door, his usual cold demeanor softened instantly. Seeing that Annabelle was approaching, Finley wisely excused himself. "Mr. Benton, I'll go out now." Rupert nodded and waved his hand to dismiss him. Finley turned around, walked out of the CEO's office, and closed the door behind him. "Annabelle, have you ever heard of Dacian?" Rupert suddenly asked.
"Dacian?
What's that?
A person?
Or a place?" Annabelle was confused. Obviously, the word Dacian didn't ring a bell to her. Rupert then relayed to Annabelle what Finley had reported just now. "I told him to keep on investigating." Annabelle nodded. The situation was indeed strange. Who was behind all this? And what was their purpose? "Anyway, what brings you here?" Rupert's magnetic voice interrupted Annabelle's thoughts. Annabelle came to her senses and held up the cold medicine in front of Rupert. "This is good for your cough. Try it."
"Is that so?"
Rupert reached for the medicine bottle in Annabelle's hand. As his fingertips brushed against Annabelle's warm palm, Rupert felt a spark. Immediately, the seductive look on Annabelle's face from last night inexplicably popped up in his mind again. Closing his eyes, Rupert took a deep breath to gather his bearings. "The medicine is too bitter. I won't take it unless..."
"Unless what?"
Annabelle frowned. How could he refuse to take medicine when he was sick? Cracking a faint smile, Rupert looked at the woman in front of him and said simply, "Unless you feed it to me."
"Rupert, what the hell is wrong with you?"
Annabelle glared at him unhappily. It was already nice of her to have bought him medicine, but now, he even wanted her to feed him. Rupert pretended to be aggrieved. "Is this how you treat the person who saved you? If it weren't for me, you would have been taken away by Elian." Hearing that, Annabelle was speechless. How could this cold and arrogant man act like such a spoiled child in front of her? He was right, though. He did save her last night. So Annabelle obliged him. She took a pill from the bottle and put it in Rupert's mouth. "Just this once, okay?" As she was feeding him the pill, Rupert bit Annabelle's finger gently. This action was so sudden that Annabelle was caught completely off guard. "Ouch." Blushing furiously, she withdrew her finger. "Rupert, are you a dog or something? Why did you bite me?" Instead of answering her question, Rupert said in a hoarse voice, "Annabelle, we still have 2 months left." Annabelle was stunned.
2 months?
"If I can make you fall in love with me in 2 months, will you stay?" Rupert's eyes were full of mixed emotions. Chapter 114. Work for Benton Group. Fall in love with him? In 2 months? "It's impossible," Annabelle said in a small voice, biting her lip. "But what if it happens? If you fall in love with me, will you stay?" Rupert insisted on asking, his eyes full of determination. "It's not going to happen." After saying that, Annabelle turned around and walked out of the CEO's office without looking back. But her heart was racing in her chest. What did Rupert mean by that? Did he want her to stay? What about Candy? Annabelle kept telling herself that the reason why Rupert asked such a question was because she looked like Candy. And she refused to be someone else's substitute. Over the next few days, everything seemed to be going well. Nina was sentenced to 1 year in prison for intentional injury. Ice and Fire had achieved unprecedented success. Brett was very satisfied with the way the cooperation was managed and took his assistant back with him to France. And thanks to Marcel's incessant invites, Anika traveled in Daubug for a few days and then returned to France. The Ice and Fire jewelry series became famous overnight. Benton Group surpassed Love Jewelry, making it the new leader in the jewelry industry. As a result, both the Benton Group's factory as well as the branch factory in France worked overtime to manufacture the Ice and Fire jewelry series. Because Annabelle was also in charge of the Ice and Fire project, she received a lot of praise from Rupert. Now was her time to shine. In the Norman family's villa, seeing that Annabelle appeared on TV with Rupert frequently,
Heather was infuriated. She grabbed a vase on the table and smashed it on the floor, shouting madly, "Annabelle! Annabelle! It's that goddamned Annabelle again. What the fuck is so good about her?" Bella was shocked by Heather's reaction, but she quickly regained her senses and tried to comfort her. "Heather, don't worry. Annabelle's just lucky, that's all. But her luck will run out sooner or later. I think Rupert just wants a new toy. One day, he'll get tired of her and kick Annabelle out. By then, he'll marry you. But how long do I have to wait?" Heather spat. "How the hell is that country bumpkin any better than me? She can't compete with you at all," Bella said knowingly. "She just has the upper hand because she works and lives with Rupert. She probably does everything she can to seduce him. So what should I do? Find a way to destroy her." Heather was so jealous that she wished Annabelle would disappear without a trace. "Heather, how about you work for Benton Group?" Bella suggested, scratching her chin wisely. "That way, you can monitor Annabelle. She won't have any room to play tricks. And you'll also have more time to spend with Rupert. He'll quickly realize that you're 1,000 times better than Annabelle. By then, he'll dump that bumpkin in a heartbeat and chase you instead." "That's actually a good idea." Heather nodded with rare satisfaction. But how would she find a way into Benton Group? It seemed that she had no choice but to beg her brother for help. Heather took a bowl of soup to the study downstairs and knocked on the door. "May I come in?" she asked sweetly. "Yes," Hooper called from inside. Heather pushed the door open and put the soup on the table. "I can't believe you're still working at this late hour. I asked the cook to make some soup. Eat it while it's still hot." Hooper looked down at the soup and asked bluntly, "What do you want?" "Hooper, what on earth are you thinking about?" Heather held Hooper's arm and shook it. "I just care about your health." But this only served to make Hooper more suspicious. Every time Heather tried to butter him up, she would ask for money or some shiny new thing. He didn't know what his troublesome sister was up to this time around. "Quit beating around the bush. What do you want?" Hooper snapped, rubbing his aching temples. Heather smiled brightly. "Here's the thing. You and Grandpa always say that I don't do anything and just have fun all day long. Now, I want to get a job." "Oh? That's easy. You can choose any position in Norman Group." Hooper was a little surprised that his unruly sister wanted to work out of the blue. "No, Norman Group will be too boring. Everyone there knows that I'm your sister, so it won't be a challenge at all." Heather shook her head decisively. "I want to work for Benton Group." Now Hooper finally knew what his sister was up to. She claimed that she wanted to work, but in fact, she just wanted Rupert. No. Hooper knew very well that Rupert would never agree to let Heather work for him. But Heather refused to give up. "Why? I love Rupert. How could you not help me with something as small as this? Are you my brother or not?" Hooper pursed his lips. "Don't you know that Rupert's already engaged? To a fucking bumpkin." Heather exploded in anger. "She can't even begin to compare with me. How can she marry Rupert?" Hooper looked at her indifferently. "Annabelle? I think she's pretty good." Heather stamped her feet indignantly. "How dare you side with her? I'm your sister. You know I love Rupert. If I can become Rupert's fiancé, the cooperation between Benton Group and Norman Group will run even more smoothly, won't it? Hooper, if you don't help me, I'll kill myself in front of you." To prove her point, Heather grabbed the fruit knife on the table. Hooper hurriedly grabbed Heather's hand and yelled, "Stop. So you'll help me?" Heather asked sweetly, the ferocious look on her face disappearing in the blink of an eye. "I'll help you find a way." When dealing with the unreasonable Heather, Hooper was absolutely helpless. After all, he only had one sister. Before Hooper could find a way to convince Rupert, something bad happened to Benton Group. One day, Annabelle was checking on the sales of ice and fire jewelry with the manager when a security guard came over in a hurry. "People are making trouble outside," the security guard reported anxiously. Annabelle immediately stopped what she was doing and asked, "What's going on?" "Some people are outside the gate, claiming that they were poisoned by the ice and fire jewelry. They insisted on seeing you. They said that they came to seek justice, and a lot of reporters are outside with them."
"Poisoned?" People present exchanged wary glances. Every part / the production process of the ice and fire jewelry line had been strictly tested. How could people be poisoned? Annabelle cleared her throat and said with fierce determination, "I'll go out to see what's going on." Chapter 115 Radioactive Jewelry. Annabelle followed the security guard out to the gate. There, she saw a group of people crowding around the gate. There were also countless reporters, carrying cameras and other equipment. Suddenly, a man pointed at Annabelle and shouted, "It's her. I saw her on TV. She's the person in charge of the ice and fire project, Annabelle Hewitt." In an instant, a group of people surrounded Annabelle. "What's going on?" Annabelle asked, frowning deeply. The reporters all scrambled to interview Annabelle. "What do you have to say about the allegations that the Ice and Fire series used dangerous materials that contain some radioactive material? Did Benton Group decide to use subpar materials to cut costs on production?" The reporters bombarded Annabelle with loaded questions. These reporters were claiming that the ice and fire jewelry line contained some radioactive material. How could that be possible? Benton Group's raw materials were all strictly monitored and quality checked, and it was impossible that such a fatal mistake would be made. Could it be someone was deliberately framing their company? But Annabelle couldn't be sure. Benton Group would remain evil in the eyes of the public until a thorough investigation was conducted. She cleared her throat and said steadily, "Please calm down. The products of Benton Group are all strictly tested for quality before they're released. It is highly unlikely that the Ice and Fire series contains any radioactive material in them. I believe this must be a misunderstanding." "A misunderstanding?" A fashionable middle-aged woman in luxury clothing strode up to Annabelle. "My sister was poisoned after she wore the necklace from the Ice and Fire collection. She's still lying in bed in the hospital. The doctor said that she would have died if she was sent to hospital a few days later. How could this be just a misunderstanding?" "Ma'am, there may be other causes for your sister's poisoning. It might not have been the products of our company," Annabelle replied coldly. "Of course it has something to do with you," the middle-aged woman snapped angrily. "My sister went through a lot of tests, and the doctor said she was exposed to something radioactive. It was your ice and fire necklace that poisoned her. I have the test results, which proves that your necklace contains some radioactive material." The man next to the middle-aged woman held up a stack of papers in his hand. "Everyone, come and have a look. This is a copy of the test results. It says clearly that Benton Group's necklace is radioactive, which can be fatal to those who wear it. We spent so much money on the jewelry, only to be poisoned. They're greedy monsters. I hope they all die miserable deaths. We demand compensation." The middle-aged woman echoed the man's sentiments. Annabelle went to look at the so-called test results. It was hard to tell whether it was true or not at a glance. Now, the most important thing was to find out what exactly was going on. She looked up and said clearly, "We will investigate this matter right away. I hope you can cooperate with us. I'll send someone to check on you to see whether there's something wrong with the necklace you bought. If it's our fault, we'll compensate you accordingly." "Of course it's your fault," the middle-aged woman pointed at Annabelle. "Don't try to stall for time. If you don't give us a solution today, we won't leave." Frowning, Annabelle opened her mouth to retort when a cold voice sounded from behind her. "We will get to the bottom of this." Annabelle turned around and saw Rupert walking over with steady steps. As soon as the reporters saw Rupert, they swarmed around him like flies and asked, "What do you think of this matter? Did you use subpar raw materials to produce the Ice and Fire series?" With knitted brows, Rupert said, "I can only say that we always prioritize the customers. We do everything in our power to bring the best products to our customers, so we never use anything that's subpar. As for the allegations against our company,
I'll have someone investigate it thoroughly. If it is indeed a result of our negligence, we are duty-bound to be transparent with our customers. After a pause, he continued in a colder and harsher tone, but if we find out that someone is framing us, we will make them pay. Flinching under Rupert's powerful aura, the middle-aged woman couldn't help but take a step back. Fine. We'll wait for the investigation results. Then Annabelle and Rupert went back inside the building. The security guard stopped the reporters from following them. What do you think is going on? Rupert sat down and tapped his fingers on his desk. Annabelle answered without missing a beat. Every step of the production process is strictly monitored. It's impossible our products have any radioactive material, unless someone secretly tampered with it. It's not easy to do such a thing, Rupert said flatly. Indeed, Benton Group's factories had always been run very methodically and strictly. It was very difficult for outsiders to get in and meddle. Annabelle nodded in agreement. I think someone's trying to frame us. Who? Rupert asked, furrowing his eyebrows tightly. Annabelle cracked a faint smile. Who has the most to gain if the ice and fire collection is ruined? Rupert slightly leaned back in his chair and mused, indeed. It's very likely that Love Jewelry is behind this matter. We can't rule them out. Well, whatever happens, as long as we investigate it thoroughly, the truth will be revealed soon. Annabelle's smile widened. It was not difficult to find out the truth. All they had to do was trace where the woman's so-called sister bought the necklace, determine whether it contained any radioactive material, and find out whether the necklace had been tampered with. Indeed, at this stage, Love Jewelry was their biggest suspect. After all, news of the plagiarism incident had spread like wildfire, bringing victory to Benton Group and humiliating defeat to Love Jewelry. It seemed highly likely that Love Jewelry would resort to dirty tricks to destroy Benton Group. Rupert called Finley in. Get to the bottom of this matter by today. Yes, sir, Finley replied briskly. However, before Finley was able to find any substantial results, a few more cases of poisoning from the ice and fire jewelry cropped up. Chapter 116 Something fishy. The expose about Benton Group's jewelry containing some radioactive material became one of the top 5 hottest news online. It caused a huge sensation. Sir, should I order someone to water down the negative news? Finley asked for Rupert's permission. No need. Rupert rubbed his temples, feeling a headache. That will be a wrong move since the matter has already spread. People will accuse us of gagging the media, saying we're guilty. You are right, sir. Finley nodded in understanding. Our top priority now is to find out the truth. Rupert frowned, clenching his fists. Many allegations of the ice and fire jewelry had popped up. The allegations were putting Benton Group in a negative light. If care wasn't taken, their jewelry brand would be blacklisted by all. I'll get the best hands to investigate it as soon as possible, Finley said seriously and then left. Meanwhile, Annabelle placed a hold on the sale of the Ice and Fire series. The distributed ones were brought back, and she asked the lab to test all of them. The results of the investigation soon came out. In the CEO's office, I've got some preliminary results about the Ice and Fire series. Finley handed the documents containing all he had gathered in the past few days to Rupert. What did you find out? Annabelle asked impatiently. Finley answered, we were able to certify that all those who claimed to have gotten poisoned by the jewelry indeed bought the ice and fire products from the authorized distribution channels. Finley sighed and continued, upon testing the products they bought, we discovered that they do contain some harmful radiation material. How can that be? Annabelle's eyes narrowed to slits. Is that to say that they got poisoned from wearing the ice and fire jewelry? Yes. That's what the investigation and lab testing point at, Finley replied with a look of regret. Annabelle rubbed her temples. This unexpected result gave her a splitting headache. She had thought the complainants were people who got paid to set Benton Group up, but it turned out that wasn't the case. Have you found out why the products had some radioactive material? Rupert piped up, flipping through the document in his hand.
No, sir. Finley shook his head. But I noticed something strange. All the defective jewelry was produced by the factory in France and sold there too.
Annabelle tapped her chin for a while. Afterward, she called the person in charge of quality assurance in the French factory.
Annabelle Hewitt speaking. How is the testing coming along?
Hello, Annabelle. I have assigned someone to test all the products. The results will be out soon.
Inform me as soon as the results come out, Annabelle ordered with all seriousness.
Okay, will do.
The QA officer agreed without hesitation. After hanging up the phone, Annabelle looked at Rupert and said, "It seems that there is something shady going on in the factory in France. It can't be a coincidence that all the rejected jewelry came from there. The way I see it, someone tampered with the quality just to get us into trouble with the authorities."
Just as Rupert began to speak, the door to the CEO's office was kicked open from outside. Erica and Kathy stormed in with two men on their heels.
"Mom, why are you here?"
Rupert frowned, holding his head. Turning a deaf ear to her son's question, Erica walked straight to Annabelle and slapped a newspaper in front of her.
"It's good that you are here, Annabelle. Look at what you have done."
Annabelle lowered her eyes. There was a screaming headline on the front page about the harmful radiation allegations.
"We were discussing the matter before your arrival," Annabelle said politely, forcing a smile.
"You were discussing it?"
Erica hissed.
"What is there to discuss?
I have said time and time again that you are a jinx, Annabelle. Such a big thing happened to Benton Group because of you. Why do you still have the face to come here?"
Annabelle retorted, "There's nothing indicating that I am to blame for what's happening. The matter is still under investigation. Don't you think it's too early to blame me?"
Erica snorted.
"Why can't I blame you? Aren't you in charge of the Ice and Fire project?
Since this problem arose, isn't the person in charge to be blamed for it?"
"My auntie is right, Annabelle. This is all your fault. If you have any conscience, you would take the fall and turn in your resignation letter. Don't remain here shamelessly. Or do you want to be driven away?"
Kathy chipped in, snarling at Annabelle. The smile on Annabelle's face was unmoved.
"It's true that I'm in charge of the Ice and Fire project. But if we are to judge based on your logic, shouldn't Rupert, the CEO of this company, be blamed for what happened?
Should he resign too?"
Finley's jaw dropped when he heard this. How dare Annabelle say that? And in front of Rupert too.
Unable to retort, Erica turned to Rupert and said, "Did you hear her?
Fire her right now."
"Mom, that's my decision to make. Please don't meddle in the company's affairs."
Rupert pulled his tie irritably. He walked to the door and opened it.
"I'm very busy. Please leave, and take Kathy and these men with you."
"Why are you acting like this, Rupert?"
"Auntie came here because she's worried about you," Kathy yelled.
"You can't allow Annabelle to continue working here. Otherwise, this company will be brought to the ground in no time."
Rupert cast a cold glance at Kathy.
"Remember that you aren't even a real Benton.
How could you?"
Kathy was heartbroken. She was adopted, but that didn't mean she didn't have more rights in the Benton family than this bumpkin called Annabelle.
"Rupert, you will regret letting Annabelle stay in Benton Group."
Erica glared at her son and left with her minions the same way they came.
"Don't be offended, Annabelle. You know how they are."
Rupert looked at Annabelle apologetically.
"I understand."
Annabelle shrugged with a smile. Suddenly, her phone rang. She looked down and saw that it was from the QA officer in the French factory.
"What's the update?
Are the results out?"
she inquired as soon as she answered the call.
"Yes."
The QA officer's voice came from the other end of the line.
"After testing all the products here, it has been ascertained that some of them contain some radiative material."
"Okay, I see," said Annabelle coldly.
After ending the call, she said to Rupert with a serious expression, "The test results indicate that there's indeed something fishy going on in the French factory.
Chapter 117 Two Elephants in the Room The French Factory.
Rupert asked, raising his eyebrows.
Yes.
Annabelle nodded with certainty. The test results show that some of the products produced in the French factory contain some radioactive material.
Something is going on there.
Rubbing his temples, Rupert said in a cold voice, "We haven't been paying much attention to the branch factory in France. It appears someone took the opportunity to start something shady when we least expected."
Annabelle put two and two together. She reasoned that Rupert's words made sense.
Compared to the attention given to the headquarters, the management of the French factory was much more relaxed. It must have been much easier to infiltrate.
Snapping her fingers, Annabelle finally said, "We need to find out how the radioactive material was used in the production. Even though the French factory is just a branch, I'm sure it wasn't a piece of cake for the culprit to start something shady there. The way I see it, this is an insider's handwork. One of our employees betrayed us.
I'll have someone look into it right away."
Rupert agreed, narrowing his eyes.
After pursing her lips for a while, Annabelle piped up, "You know what? I want to go to France."
This was a matter of urgency and importance. She felt that if they were to get answers soon enough, she had to go there.
Anyone that could go against Benton Group in such a big way was definitely not a small person.
As the person in charge of the Ice and Fire project, it was Annabelle's duty to find out the truth as soon as possible.
"I'll go with you," Rupert said without hesitation.
"Isn't your presence needed here?"
Annabelle asked, looking at him suspiciously.
"Yes, but not as much as it is needed over in France. I have to be there. Not only will my presence communicate to the public that Benton Group attaches great importance to the matter, but it will also send a warning to whosoever is behind this."
Rupert didn't blink for once as he stared at Annabelle.
"Finley can hold the reins for me while I'm away."
All that he mentioned was important, but not as important as his need to protect Annabelle. He didn't want her to go there alone.
France was so far away. He felt that Annabelle wouldn't be safe alone there since she wasn't even familiar with the place.
Annabelle didn't bother dissuading him since he already made up his mind.
Besides, she could do with some help over there, the whole issue might get sorted out faster.
"Now, let's address the other elephant in the room."
Annabelle took a seat and said, "We have to recall all the Ice and Fire jewelry produced by the French factory and negotiate with the affected parties for compensation.
We must satisfy their requests so their complainants won't cause any more damage to Benton Group.
The recent scandal resulted in the fall of Benton Group's stock price for several days in a row. It was best to count and recoup the losses before it was too late."
Rupert already had that in mind.
"I'll assign someone to do that."
After a pause, he looked at Finley and ordered, "Organize a press conference for this afternoon."
"Yes, sir."
Finley left to do as he was told.
"Since we are done here, I'll return to my desk."
Halfway to the door, Annabelle halted.
"Should I book flight tickets for tomorrow?"
"There will be no need for that. We'll fly there in my private jet," Rupert responded, shaking his head.
"A private jet?
Fine."
With a shrug, Annabelle turned around and walked out.
Outside, she bumped into someone who had been walking in a haste.
It was Cody.
"Good day, Mr. Wagner."
Annabelle nodded and greeted him.
Cody didn't respond.
Rather, he gave her a cold glance and walked straight into the CEO's office.
Hearing the footsteps, Rupert looked up.
"What's the matter?"
he asked, seeing that Cody had worry written all over his face.
"Rupert."
Cody whipped out his phone and put it in front of Rupert.
"The stock price has fallen by 10 points within just a few days. Are you aware of that?"
"Yes, I'm aware. I'll handle it," Rupert replied calmly.
"How do you intend to go about it?"
Cody looked at him with a frown.
"We all know why the company got into this mess in the first place. It's pretty easy to solve the problem."
"Oh?
Do you have any suggestions?"
Rupert leaned back, keen to hear what this man had in mind.
Cody was Bruce's adopted son. He was 2 years younger than Jared.
they grew up together and had a good relationship. When they became adults, Cody was of great help to Jarrett in the running of the company. He even became the acting CEO after Jarrett died. His reign didn't last for long because Bruce handed the company over to Rupert and made Cody the vice president. In the past few years, Rupert was respected by all because of how he ran the company. But Cody was relegated to the background. "It's simple. Just fire Annabelle," Cody said, tapping the desk with his index finger. This happened because of Annabelle's negligence as the project director. "Once you fire her, everything will die down and our company can return to its former glory." "You don't say." Rupert folded his arms, his eyes turning cold and his face fierce. Cody intended to make Annabelle the scapegoat. It was the only solution he could think of. However, he didn't realize that her sack wouldn't solve the fundamental problem. Rupert wouldn't bother firing the person in charge even if it wasn't Annabelle. He knew better than that. Seeing that Rupert was hesitant, Cody held out a document and said, "Dismiss Annabelle immediately. This contains the agreement signed by the members of the board." Rupert took it and skimmed through it. There were several signatures from the shareholders of the company. The first one was that of his mother, Erica. "This was my mother's idea, wasn't it?" Rupert asked, frowning deeply. "Yes, hers and ours, too." When he saw the fire brewing in Rupert's eyes, Cody wiped the sweat on his forehead. "I and the other shareholders want what's best for the company. We want this matter to be solved before the company goes under." Rupert tapped the table with his knuckles. His long legs were crossed casually. Although he was sitting, he gave off a towering sense of oppression. He looked at Cody with a frown and uttered in a sharp and cold tone, "I agree that we have to solve this problem before things become worse than this. However, I'd like to make it clear that firing Annabelle won't calm the storm. Even if it would, I would never fire her. So, forget about it." Rupert, how Cody was embarrassed by Rupert's straightforward refusal. Just as he was about to get short with him, Rupert uttered authoritatively, "Leave everything to me. Your help isn't needed here, so use the door." Chapter 118. Feed me. Rupert didn't show respect to Cody at all, and the latter couldn't help but feel a little annoyed. But he couldn't let Rupert know that he was annoyed, so he forced a smile and said, "Rupert, please understand that your mother and I are doing this for Benton Group. We hope you won't regret this." Robert snorted and said nothing more on the matter. Cody stood there awkwardly for a bit before finally excusing himself. After he left, Rupert pursed his lips and fell into deep thought. He had always respected Cody, but now, he was getting more and more confused about this man. As soon as Annabelle returned to her desk, she urged the person in charge of the jewelry factory in Daubug to send the test results to her as soon as possible. Half an hour later, the results were emailed to her. As expected, there was no problem with the ice and fire jewelry produced by their factory in Daubug. Annabelle breathed a sigh of relief. It seemed that the problem lay solely in the French factory. She sorted out the documents as quickly as she could and then printed them out for Rupert. The press conference this afternoon was critical, and these documents were paramount. Just as she reached the door to the CEO's office, Annabelle ran into Cody again. He was walking out of the CEO's office with an angry look. When he saw Annabelle, his expression darkened further. "Mr. Wagner," Annabelle greeted Cody with a polite smile. Cody forced a smile in return and then left quickly. Shrugging it off, Annabelle knocked on the door. "May I come in?" Rupert looked up and smiled. "Of course." Annabelle stepped inside the CEO's office, only to find Rupert holding the bottle of cold medicine she had given him. His clear eyes were staring at the medicine bottle in his hand, and there was a faint smile that tugged at the corners of his thin lips. Rupert looked at Annabelle and put the medicine down. "Annabelle, perfect timing. I was just looking for you." Annabelle briskly handed the documents over to Rupert, saying, "The test results prove that the ice and fire jewelry produced here are fine. It seems that the problem lies in the factory in France." Rupert took the documents, but instead of reading them, he tossed them on the desk. Annabelle was surprised.
At a moment as critical as this, this afternoon's press conference was of utmost importance. They were going to clarify the matter of the ice and fire incident. These materials were key to the press conference, but Rupert didn't even glance at them. Frowning, Annabelle asked anxiously, "Don't you need to read those? They will help with the press conference this afternoon."
"I know that." Rupert chuckled mischievously. "But we must take care of something else first."
"What?" Annabelle blurted, unable to contain her mounting anxiety. Rupert pointed at the medicine on the table and answered, "Feed me the medicine." Annabelle was dumbfounded. How could he still think about that at a time like this? Smiling cheekily, Rupert continued, "You wouldn't want me to go to the press conference with a cold, would you?" Annabelle rolled her eyes and snapped, "Fine. Just don't bite me again." Albeit huffily, she picked up the bottle of medicine from the table, unscrewed the lid, and poured two pills out. Then, holding her breath, she carefully placed them into Rupert's mouth. Perhaps it was because the medicine was bitter, but Rupert suddenly frowned and said, "I want some water." "Your glass is right there." Annabelle pursed her lips vigilantly. What did this man want this time? "Help me out, will you?" Rupert spoke as if his request was obvious. Annabelle was once again rendered speechless. But now wasn't the time to squabble. Annabelle briskly picked up Rupert's glass and poured water into it. Then, she brought the glass to his lips and snapped, "Here." Rupert leaned back to avoid her advance, looking at her with his mischievous eyes. "Check the water's temperature to see if it's just right." Despite the man's unreasonable request, Annabelle kept her cool and took a sip of water. Indeed, it was just right. But this was Rupert's glass. She had just drunk from it. Was this an indirect kiss? Her cheeks turned red at the thought. Annabelle took a deep breath to dismiss this ridiculous idea. "It's okay. Here, drink it." Annabelle handed the glass to Rupert, trying to keep her voice calm. But Rupert didn't take it. He was staring intently at the woman's blushing face. "What are you looking at?" Annabelle frowned, feeling unnerved under his gaze. All of a sudden, Rupert burst into laughter. "Annabelle, why are you blushing?" Was her blush so obvious? Did he see right through her? Feeling embarrassed, Annabelle bit her lip and denied it. "I'm not blushing." Raising his eyebrows, Rupert continued to tease her. "Really? Look at yourself in the mirror." At this point, Annabelle was a little annoyed. She pressed the glass against Rupert's lips and said, "Rupert, do you want water or not?" Seeing that Annabelle was pissed off, Rupert's expression softened. He was about to accept the glass of water when a woman's voice suddenly interrupted them. "Annabelle, what do you think you're doing?" The sudden, sharp voice startled Annabelle. She nearly lost her grip on the glass, splashing a bit of water on Rupert. She turned around slowly, only to find Heather glaring at her viciously. The scene of Rupert and Heather dancing resurfaced in her mind. Annabelle's expression darkened, and she immediately slammed the glass on the table. "I'm leaving now."
"Don't leave," Rupert said.
Annabelle turned a deaf ear to him. However, before she could take a single step, a big hand suddenly held her waist. The sudden pull made her slip and fall down on Rupert. Annabelle's face fell between his legs. This position looked extremely ambiguous from Heather's point of view. Heather stared at the scene in front of her, utterly dumbfounded. A few seconds later, she came to her senses. What a shameless slut! How dare Annabelle seduce Rupert right in front of her? High heels clicking against the floor, Heather strode up to her, yanked her away from Rupert, and scolded, "What are you doing, Annabelle? How dare you do such a thing in broad daylight?" Sensing Heather's jealousy, Annabelle deliberately sat on Rupert's lap and wrapped her arms around his neck. "Don't you know how to knock? It's so rude to barge in on me and my fiancé." "Why, you?" Heather didn't know what to say. Her eyes were full of hostility, as if she wanted to pounce on Annabelle on the spot.
With Ansbel's soft and warm body leaning against him, Rupert felt a spark of desire. He wrapped his arm around her waist tightly and glared at Heather.
What are you doing here?
Chapter 119 Press Conference. Heather walked up to Rupert and glared at Annabelle jealously. With her eyes gleaming with obsession, she looked at Rupert's handsome face and said, I saw in the news that Benton Group is currently going through some difficulties. If you want, Norman Group can step in to help. That won't be necessary. Rupert cut her off rudely. Heather's smile froze for a second. She then continued, but I saw that Benton Group's stock price is falling at a fast pace due to the ice and fire issue. A cooperation with a strong company like Norman Group will help turn the tide for your company. The stock price is sure to get back up if that happens.
What?
Are you trying to say Benton Group's stocks won't rise back without the help of Norman Group? Rupert sneered and looked at her coldly. A chill knifed through Heather's back when she saw the ice in his expression. She replied in an aggrieved tone, No, that's not what I meant. I was just trying to help, Rupert.
Save your help.
Rupert's voice was as cold as ice. I have something important to do. Please leave. Heather stamped her feet in anger and glared at Annabelle before she turned around and left. You hurt her feelings. Aren't you going to run after her? Annabelle tilted her head and took a glance at Rupert, pouting her lips in the direction where Heather went.
Are you kidding me? What's the big deal?
After all, she came here to help you out of the goodness of her heart. Aren't you afraid that she would be heartbroken? Although Annabelle thought she was just being sarcastic, her words dripped with jealousy. She still couldn't forget the image of Rupert dancing with Heather at the party. It annoyed her for some weird reason.
You think so?
Rupert rubbed his chin and pretended to think about it. Then he uttered, You are right. I had better go after her. He sprang to his feet.
How dare you?
Annabelle blurted out without thinking when she saw that he was really going out. It became pretty obvious that she was jealous. Rupert chuckled and quipped, Look who's jealous. Shame made Annabelle's cheeks turn red when she came to her senses. What was wrong with her? Why did his actions always get to her? It was so weird.
Again, I'm not jealous.
Yelled Annabelle, glaring at him. The corners of Rupert's mouth curled into a smile. He leaned close to Annabelle and said in a magnetic voice, Annabelle, I danced with Heather that day because I was angry that you were with Rory. His gentle breath sprayed on her neck, tingling all her senses. Subconsciously, Annabelle pushed him away. She wavered. Did he just say that he had nothing to do with Heather? A touch of warmth inexplicably swirled in her heart. She took a deep breath and said lightly, You can dance with whomever you like. It's none of my business. His eyes were as deep as the sea that could drown her. When he spoke again, his voice was like the music from a cello. I promise to dance with only you from now on. Those words increased the warmth in Annabelle's heart. She almost lost herself. However, she quickly snapped out of it. She sneered, What about Candy? What if she comes back one day? Won't you dance with her?
Candy.
Rupert fell silent. Annabelle was disappointed to see how his face fell. His silence was loud enough. Annabelle smiled bitterly. Why did she set herself up to be heartbroken? After all, she already knew the answer. Candy was the love of Rupert's life. How could he pick her, a temporal substitute, over Candy? As the pain in her heart intensified, Annabelle pointed at the table and said coldly, You'd better hurry up and read these materials. We can't afford the failure of this afternoon's press conference. That said, I'll go back to my desk. She turned around and left in a haste. The press conference began at exactly 2 o'clock in the afternoon as earlier scheduled. In the conference hall, the reporters were already present with their cameras and recording devices. They fought to get good positions near the stage so they wouldn't miss any word that would be said today. Sitting in the corner, Annabelle quietly stared at the dazzling man sitting on the stage. Under everyone's expectant gaze, Rupert stood up and cleared his throat. Good day.
everyone. Thanks for coming to today's press conference. After a pause, he continued, as you may have guessed, the main purpose of this press conference is to address the ongoing troubles involving a new jewelry collection released by our company. It's no news that several complaints have been made that people got poisoned by the radioactive material allegedly present in the Ice and Fire jewelry series. We are very concerned about these complaints and are committed to getting to the root of this. After investigating for several days, we found that all the pieces of jewelry with this problem were produced in our branch factory in France. In contrast, the ones produced here have been certified perfect. Here is the test report. Rupert signaled to his assistant. Taking the hint, Finley clicked the enter key on his laptop. The test report was projected on the widescreen a second later. This is the test report gotten from a reputable authority in the quality assurance field. It shows that the jewelry pieces produced here are perfect. You can wear them without worrying. Mr. Benton, now that it has been confirmed that the issue is coming from the branch factory in France, what do you plan to do about that? A reporter fired the first question. Rupert adjusted the microphone and replied coldly, "We have recalled all the defective products and destroyed them. I'll personally investigate the root cause of counterfeits. I will leave no stones unturned. Those behind this will be brought to book. As for the victims, we have already begun negotiating with them and reached agreements for compensation. I sincerely apologize to them." Rupert's speech won warm applause. An overzealous reporter further queried, "Mr. Benton, do you have any idea who is behind this?" "Not yet, but I'm confident I will find that out once I travel down there. If it turns out that the issue came from within, I'll deal with it accordingly," Rupert said firmly. "Could there be a traitor in your company, Mr. Benton?" another reporter asked. Rupert answered calmly, "I can't rule out the possibility, or say yes for sure. I can only give you an honest answer after the investigation." The press conference ended on a good note. Once Rupert's speech was televised, Benton Group's stock price stopped dropping and began to rise. Annabelle breathed a sigh of relief. Nonetheless, the press conference was just one step in the direction of clearing the company's name. The trip to France was key. Chapter 120 Number 1 Factory. It was getting late. Annabelle was busy packing in her room when she suddenly heard a cough by the door. Raising her head, she found Rupert standing at the doorway. Leaning against the doorframe, he was wearing a casual, white robe, which made him look less indifferent and alienating. Seeing this, Annabelle was stunned for a second. Noticing that she was staring at him wordlessly, Rupert cracked a smile. "Am I that good looking?" "Rupert, how long have you been standing there?" Blushing slightly, Annabelle came to her senses and ignored his question. Rupert straightened up and walked in. "Are you done packing?" "Almost." Annabelle nodded, gesturing at her luggage. Truth be told, there wasn't much that she needed to pack. She just needed to bring a few daily necessities. "Remember to get up early tomorrow," Rupert said. "Okay." Just then, Rupert's phone rang. Glancing at the caller ID, he found that it was Judson calling, the director of the branch factory in France. Rupert answered the phone briskly. "Judson, what's up?" "Mr. Benton, we've found out that the defective jewelry was produced in number 1 factory," Judson's voice came from the other end of the line. Rupert's expression darkened. "So, the problem is within number 1 factory?" "Yes. I've already sent someone to look into it. The results should be available by tomorrow." "Okay," Rupert said in a dangerously low voice. After he hung up, Annabelle asked, "What was that about?" "It was the French branch that called." Rupert narrowed his eyes and frowned. "There's something wrong with number 1 factory." "Well, now that we know which factory it was exactly, it should be easy to investigate," Annabelle mused. "I disagree." Rupert's expression darkened. "Whoever is behind this is by no means simple." "That's true." Annabelle nodded in agreement. "Indeed, what had happened recently was strange. It was as if there was an invisible hand controlling everything. At present,
they still didn't know who their enemies were. The situation was very disadvantageous to Benton Group. Anyway, let's talk about it when we arrive in France tomorrow. Rupert's expression softened. Seeing that Annabelle was still frowning, he patted her on the shoulder and said gently, "Get some rest. Okay, good night." Annabelle finally cracked a small smile. However, that night, she tossed and turned in bed restlessly. The following morning, Annabelle got up early and washed up quickly. As soon as she stepped out of her room, she heard the doorbell ringing. Who would come here so early in the morning? When Rupert opened the door, he found Erica and Kathy standing outside. "Mom, what are you doing here?" Rupert frowned in confusion. "What's wrong? You don't want to see me?" Erica asked coldly. She was wearing a vibrant orange dress, which made her look youthful. Without waiting for Rupert's answer, Erica walked past him and walked straight to the living room. Kathy followed her. "Rupert, don't you take me seriously?" Erica looked at Rupert with dissatisfaction. "Did you even read the joint letter from the board of directors?" "Joint letter?" As Annabelle was making her way down the stairs, she overheard Erica's disgruntled words. Immediately, her curiosity was piqued. "I'm dealing with it," Rupert answered flatly.
"Dealing with it? How?"
"We asked you to fire Annabelle. Why haven't you fired her?" Erica raised her voice. "Do you want Benton Group to go bankrupt?" The corner of Annabelle's mouth twitched. The board of directors wanted to fire her? But why? Rupert looked at his mother gloomily. Then, glancing at his watch, he said coldly, "This has nothing to do with Annabelle. I'm going to France in a while. I don't have the time for this." Once again, he was driving his own mother out. Erica's expression darkened. As soon as she saw Annabelle coming downstairs with her luggage, she asked coldly, "Is she going with you?"
"Yes, I am."
With her luggage in tow, Annabelle walked up to Rupert and held his arm. "Why can't I go with Rupert?" Seeing the unpleasant scene in front of her, Kathy bit her lip and said, "Rupert, let me go with you."
"No."
Rupert refused without hesitation. "Rupert, I'm not joking. I also want to help, you know," Kathy said anxiously. Erica agreed. "Kathy's right. She'll go with you." Kathy wanted to help? Annabelle highly doubted that. Thinking about what Kathy had done to Rupert that night he got drunk, Annabelle smiled sarcastically. "I'm afraid she'll be more of an obstacle. What can she do to help?" "What's that supposed to mean, Annabelle?" Kathy asked sourly, though she secretly felt embarrassed. When she was about to say something more, she was silenced by Rupert's cold voice.
"Enough."
Impatient, Rupert pushed Kathy away. "You just need to focus on your studies. You don't need to worry about Benton Group." Unconvinced, Kathy retorted, "How come Annabelle gets to go with you but I can't?" "It was Grandpa's idea. Ask him why you can't go." Rupert didn't want to argue with them anymore, so he mentioned Bruce. Biting her lower lip, Kathy looked to Erica for help. "Aunt." Erica suddenly stood up and shot Rupert an angry look. "Fine. Since this is your grandfather's idea, I won't say anything more. But know this, if the company continues to suffer losses because of Annabelle, I won't let her go."
"Mom, just take Kathy home."
Rupert asked them to leave flatly. Exasperated, Erica left with Kathy in a huff. "Auntie, Rupert doesn't respect you at all. He wasn't like this before. It's all Annabelle's fault." Kathy grumbled, adding more fuel to the fire. "I don't know what Rupert sees in her. He's so obsessed with her that he doesn't care for his family anymore. If he marries her, what'll happen to us?" Erica sneered unhappily. "Kathy, don't worry. I won't let Rupert marry that woman." While watching them leave, Annabelle felt a little uneasy. Over the past month, she had worked hard for the interests of Benton Group,
but Erica and the rest of the board of directors wanted to fire her. It was so disappointing. With a cold look in her eyes, Annabelle glanced at Rupert and said calmly, "Don't worry. I'll be leaving in 2 months. Then your mom will stop making things so difficult for you."